In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. In the Gospel according to St. Luke this morning, we hear the story of the rich young ruler. This young man is living an honorable and a good life. He is someone who keeps the commandments. He hungers, however, for something more. And so he approaches Jesus and he asks, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And after a bit of back and forth in the scripture, Jesus says, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And we know that these are very hard words for the rich young man. He went out shopping that morning, but he did not realize that the BMW was going to cost that much. Discovers that with the kingdom of heaven, with that kingdom, there comes a bit of sticker shock. It was hard to hear those words. Turns out that the resurrection is not a religious doodad that one can pick up on the cheap. He wasn't ready for that, and those words were harsh. And so he makes a sad choice in response. Abundant life was within his reach, but his hands were so tightly clenched around his earthly cares that he could not release his grip and then open his arms and receive the treasures Christ was ready to give. And of course, you and I cannot pretend that we are better than the rich man. We have to admit that we are just as stunned by those words from Jesus every time we hear them. Sell what you possess and give it to the poor, right? It's really quite scandalous. Who does that? Who could even do that if they wanted to? And so we take this commandment, we hear it all the time, we even heard it during the week, during the daily readings, we heard Mark's version. We take this commandment, we box it up, and we put it way up there on that shelf where things are kept that we think are unthinkable. We put this commandment to go and to sell what we have. We put it in that box with the other commandments, like love your enemy, turn the other cheek, don't worry about what tomorrow will bring. It's a box on a shelf of impossible things. But we have to also admit, impossible or not, this is a commandment for us. Go and sell what you have. It's the bad side of the good news, we might say. The resurrection, we know, changes everything. The resurrection means everything. And that's the easy part. That's the part that's so easy and sweet to hear, right? But the resurrection also requires everything. And that's not so easy on the ears. That's more like fingernails on the chalkboard, right? That scratching sound. Sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. How do we do it, right? How do we even begin to want to do it? I always say this when this passage comes up in our lectionary. We can do this. It's just a matter of knowing how. Part of the problem is that when we hear this story, so often we are stunned by the command, just simply stunned by the command to go and sell that you have, all that you have. We miss the joyful part. We miss the joyful invitation extended to us by Christ. Jesus doesn't simply say, sell all that you have, as if what you have is bad. He also says, and come and follow me. May we never forget that. We've been given an invitation by the raised and glorified Lord himself to come and to follow him, to dwell with him, to enjoy his fellowship, to be healed by his presence, to be comforted by his words, to feel the loving embrace of his forgiveness, to be filled with his peace and joy, to enjoy the fellowship of all others who have also sold what they have and now follow the Lord, men and women and children who now also gather around Christ. That's the life that we are invited to enjoy. And here's the key. This is what I always repeat. I always try to find some way to say this. And I won't stop. He does not say to the rich young man, if you would be perfect. He doesn't say if. If you would be perfect, first sell your possessions and then follow me. He doesn't say that. This is not an if-then commandment. If you read this in the NIV, for those of you that know different English translations, it says then. It's wrong. The word is and. It's and in every single translation besides the NIV. And in Greek, it's and. This is not an if-then commandment. It's a both-and commandment. He says, sell your possessions and come and follow me. Right? What's the big difference, right? What's the big difference between then and? Oh, it's big difference, right? These two things, in other words, according to our Lord, these two things, selling and following, they go together. Giving up control to God is something which takes place for most of us in combination with our life of prayer and worship, our struggle to embrace God's presence. As we pray more, as we worship more, as we confess and serve and struggle and read Scripture more, as we strive to seek Christ's presence throughout the day, slowly, slowly, we are given the grace to give up what we need to give up. It's like the old story of the frog and the kettle, right? You know the story of the frog and the kettle? Right? If you try to put a frog into hot water, what happens? Jumps out, right? If you try to put a frog into a kettle of hot water, the frog will immediately react. It will react, it will struggle, and it will escape. But put that same frog in cold water, it's happy, right? And you slowly turn up the heat. Slowly heat up the water while the frog is enjoying himself, and the frog won't even notice until it's too late, right? And then you get to have boiled frogs for lunch. It's on the menu. It's a coffee hour today. The Malcolmsons have made boiled frogs for lunch. They have not. Brothers and sisters, Jesus calls us to be frogs, okay? Giving away our earthly cares, forsaking everything for the kingdom of God. This is something which for most of us happens gradually and slowly, but it has to happen, right? First, we learn to give as much as we can in small ways. Right? You have to learn to walk before you learn to run. Right? You have to learn to read before you earn your PhD. Right? We learn to tithe to the church. We learn to support the church financially. We learn to give God a bit of time, at least a bit, of our time in prayer. We give it to him in our labor. We learn to start trusting in God's love, and we begin to let go of anxiety and shame in the small ways that we can. And in return, even for that little bit that we give God, God gives us a bit of his kingdom, a bit of that peace that passes understanding. And guess what? In turn, that gives us more strength, more courage to surrender more of our hearts to God, to surrender more of ourselves to Christ. And this deepens our fellowship. The idea in the church has always been that this is a marathon. I say this to most of you a lot. The spiritual life, our life in Christ, is a marathon. Sanctity is gradual. It does not happen all at once. Holiness, our life in the Holy Spirit, is like that frog in the kettle. Jesus slowly turns up the heat and helps us to live through things we did not think were possible to live through. So, to help me remember this, I like to say that Orthodox are creeps and not jerks. Okay? Hold on. You'll understand in a second. Orthodox are creeps and not jerks. We don't become like Christ immediately. It doesn't happen that way. We do not leap into holiness. Jesus does not move us from sinfulness to sainthood all of a sudden as if we were caught by a lasso and kind of jerked suddenly into new life. We are not jerked along by Christ. Instead, we creep along. We move slowly over a lifetime into that deeper communion with Christ. And don't take my word for it. Listen to the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy this morning. It's a very short passage, 3 verses. He says, "This is a faithful saying. I am first among sinners, and for this reason Christ Jesus might first display in me his perfect patience as an example to all those who believe in him for eternal life." I am the first among sinners, and for this reason, I am the first one in whom he will display his perfect patience. Right? The Apostle Paul is also saying we are creeps and not jerks. We do not become like Christ immediately. There's no pushing of a button, no sudden transformation. He shows us his perfect patience. Christ asks us to grow into his likeness, and this growth is always, 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 always gradual. First, we encounter a bit of what we need to surrender. Then the love and the peace of Christ fills us a little bit more so that we might surrender even more to Christ, so that we might follow Christ more joyfully, so that we might surrender even more, so that we might walk more closely with Christ, so that we give more, so that we follow more, so that we give more, so that we follow more. It is a holy cycle, one that we pray will continue until someday we hear Jesus say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." But for this to happen, we have to start giving ourselves away to others in love. We have to do that. We have to do it as individuals. We have to do it as a church family. Here at St. Nicholas, we also need to be creeps rather than jerks. We have to slowly creep towards sanctity as a church. We have to slowly sell what we have and give it to the poor and to follow Christ. We've taken wonderful steps into the kingdom. This church always has. But even in just recent years, we've continued to do that. We've chosen to do things that are visible to the eye. We've renewed our iconography. We've tried to make our social hall and our narthex more comfortable and welcoming and friendly. We devote a bit of our charities, increasingly a bit of our charities to take, and we also take up extra collections. But it's always a call from Christ to take bigger steps, to keep moving towards Christ, so that he might give himself over to us even that much more. Right? Our Lord continues to say to us, as he said to the rich young ruler, "Go and sell all that you have, and give it to those who hunger and thirst for me, and then come and follow me." I encourage each of you to hear the Lord's words and to find ways to slowly creep into the kingdom in ways that make sense for you and for your lives, gradually, so that we might forsake everything for the sake of the kingdom. And I also encourage us as a church family to do the same, to yearn for Christ, most importantly, to trust in God. The rich young ruler could not do it, but you and I, we can. We can do it. God loves us. God knows what he's doing. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, to him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the words with which Paul encourages Timothy this morning. And may we also be encouraged to trust in the loving Father who alone is wise. Amen. Thank you.